Emma Frost, is she now the key to the meta? Where is Symbiote Spider-Man gonna go now that he's out of the milestones? And now, is it worth it to farm, man? All that and more coming up on your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update. And if you're ready for that, find that like button. And my brother Tony Scangeli, tell him what to do.
What's milestones?
Alley flying.
What is up, Valley Maniacs? I am Valley Flying. Welcome to the Valley Flying channel and your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update. This week, I am joined by my biggest Dr. Doom fan brother out there, Mr. Tony Scangeli. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, brother. How are you doing today?
Ooh, I'm doing good. And it has been a while since we have talked in a video, and I've been looking forward to this for a while. So let's do this. We got a bunch of news that happened this week. How have you been, by the way?
Surviving, man. You know, it's pretty good to be a content creator from home, because then you only have to go out for the bare essentials like Mountain Dew.
The green Mountain Dew. All right. But first things first, it's covering you up. But first things first, brother, Beast, now that you've had a week or so to play with this character, testing him out, different X-Men iteration, different modes, what are your thoughts of this character?
I think Beast is one of those, like, middle tier, like, utility characters. Like, remember how one day someone was like, you could use Falcon and win fights with U7, and we're like, what? Why? Like, I think that's where Beast lines up. I've actually, one of my friends just picked up the $50 X-Men offer, yes. And then they got Beast too, and they're using them in some of the earlier raids without Phoenix. Okay. So I think Beast, first of all, I don't think he's like inherently a part of the X-Men team. I just think he's like a great raid character. And when you go into those later nodes in Gamma, you're just going to want to have Beast as the healer of the team. So he's pretty good. But like, I think he's a mid character. Like, you don't build your entire roster around him. You don't go out of your way to have a strong Beast unless you need every character max. Okay. But I dig his kit. Requires a little bit of investment, but I dig his kit.
I mean, there's a lot of interesting things that that kit does do. It kind of confused me because the X-Men were already a good team. But I do want to go back to you. You mentioned a friend that purchased the original X-Men offer and then Beast and using him in some of the earlier raids. One of the theories was taking Phoenix out, putting Beast into that X-Men team, making them a viable raid team. Is that kind of what people are seeing in early and mid-game from what you're hearing? That they're a viable team with Beast in there? No Phoenix?
You lose a little bit without Phoenix because she's like the damage dealer. But also, if you use Phoenix on the raid team, you're pot committing to using raid heals. Like, you're just saying, oh, and also after every node, I'm going to raid heal. Because if your Phoenix doesn't flip, did she need to be there in the first place? Yeah, you know?
Because then you're just basic. It's just like, what point is that?
So cut Phoenix out, get Wolverine out of there, and then, you know, the core of the team then actually, you already have Storm, who's been widely regarded as a pretty decent raid character overall. You now have a little bit extra sustain with Beast. Psylocke gives them the ability to not immediately die, which gives Beast an extra time. Cyclops is now the Phoenix, you know? The problem is his cooldowns are incredibly long. And Colossus is an adequate tank on that team. Do I think
doesn't
that, like,
have,
we're
doesn't
see...
have defense up, though, in the beginning without that Phoenix. Yeah. So not nearly as good without Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't see them in, like, maybe, like, early U6 you could probably squeeze through. But I think that kind of setup is, like, if you buy both, right? You buy a Beast offer and then you buy those characters. Yeah. So it's $75. For $75, you don't really have to worry too much about your raid team. The problem with that as, like, early stuff is that you don't even get mutant gear until you're like level 50 or 60, because that's usually how high you have to be to clear through those nodes. So you can't actually work on too many of those characters. I think like it makes them usable, but I think Beast, everything he does for the mutant team is great, but I think everything he does just as a raid character is superior. Like, I think he's getting in that, like, weird line of like, oh, throw him on a raid team and you'll see what happens.
Okay. So are you currently using him in one of the Ultima 7 difficulties?
No, I don't. Okay.
Because that was my question. I mean, I guess my point, I was very confused when he came out. Like, this X-Men team is very good. What does Beast do? How does he take him over the top? Does he take him to the next level? Does he prepare them over Black Order? And I wasn't sure if he did that, but it kind of makes sense what you're saying. He's not an X-Men. He's just a Raid character that you could add in there. And I guess my follow-up question was going to be, how big does he need to be? 50,000, 60,000 in order to take him into Ultima 7? What are you hearing if you're not doing that firsthand?
So if I had to guess, since he needs to be survivable and he's also a healer, he would need that heal to matter. So I'd probably say, as a rule, I wouldn't take anybody into U7 that's under gear tier 13 in general. But I think Red Stars on Beast would be more relevant because of how he needs to survive. Now, remember his that big ability, the 8 mana, then it reduces down to 6 mana ability. You're not going to do that often in raids. I think, I forgot what it's called. It's not Stars and Garters, that's his passive, which is hilarious. But, I think ultimately, you're just not going to bring him in. Because when you think about the X-Men team, it's Phoenix, Colossus, and 3 X-Men you have. So they're more of a Swiss Army knife. Like, in Blitz, I use Storm. She does a little bit more damage than Psylocke and more of AoE. In Raids, I use Psylocke, not Raids, in War, I use Psylocke instead of Storm because I want to make sure I can clear the buffs or throw debuffs off depending on the fight I'm going in. So they're very Swiss Army knife-y. But I think Beast is like, I think we haven't seen in-game the reason Beast is relevant yet. Like, I don't think anybody is using the X-Men team to clear nodes or challenges in order for the 3-star, but I think maybe when the ISO 8 campaign comes out, that's when you're going to start seeing you want to use Beast and the X-Men on the team so you can guarantee that if Phoenix flips, you still get the 3 stars or whatever that is. That's my understanding, because inherently he doesn't actually add anything to what the team is trying to do. He's good, like, he's not a bad character, yeah. But...
It's just, they're already a good team, so
yeah.
All right, so you're blitzing a lot, and we got these milestones there. I'm way far behind. I'm way further behind than you, but you are going hard on these. What are your thoughts on these? Obviously, there's something in this that you like a lot. What are you going for? Oranges?
No, it's the 20. So I actually, I like what they did with the 20 character shards over the completion of the milestone. That's something I like. And as a matter of fact, I would love to see this kind of event after characters are released, anytime a new team comes out. So, if not necessarily like a legendary character, but anytime they introduce a new team to the game, I would very much like to see this kind of event to let you go like, hey, you bought them already, congrats, or you invested or whatever, you got them. Well, here's a little bit more, you can get a little bit more if you want. It's obviously optional, that's fine. I think that this is a little bit light on rewards. I think you could, maybe they could have given a little bit more, but it does seem as though the rewards are kind of in line with the characters themselves, so I don't mind it. But since it is a very specific event to a specific characters, I think obviously anyone would say, like, I want more. I think they could have been a hair more generous with, like, mini uniques and SBCs and the stuff that you may want not only for them, but for other X-Men or mutant characters. But ultimately, it's still an optional event. I think having this type of event is better than not having it. Like, I don't think it's a waste of your time, especially because you don't have to blitz super duper hard. You don't have to be winning in 8-3 all the time. Right now I'm blitzing 4 milestones and then I'm losing 4 times and then going back up.
What I'm seeing about this, people are saying these are pretty easy to get. Are you fine? I didn't even, as you can see, I didn't really take this too seriously. I'm not really in need of this mutant gear. I just kind of want the shards, but even that, it's not going to push me to the next star level. So this was not an event that I took too seriously, did the math on. What is the math like? I mean, the rewards aren't like as generous as some of the other ones that they had, but is it in line with what you have to do to push? Because some of those other ones had to push kind of hard as far as blitzing and stuff.
The math I saw was, if you had, I don't remember if it was 13 or 15 total blitz teams, right? You'd have to blitz 5 times a day to clear it.
And that's
in
just,
like a couple of days.
Is that just with a blitz like, milestone, just with a blitz scoring, or some of these
exactly.
other scores?
Exactly. Yeah, just from blitz.
Okay.
So like, and then win or lose an arena battle with X-Force, like, you know, if you don't particularly care about your arena fight, just put them in, go in, leave. Like, don't try to win. Like, don't waste your time.
15 you points know? Right there.
Yeah, just gain your points and walk away. As for the end. It's battle in arena at all, battle and lose, with, you know, win or lose with X-Force specifically. So I don't think this event is generous. I don't think anyone would use that word to describe it with both the points and anything else, but it's manageable for players in that middle to like high end. It's obviously not for new players. I would say like anyone with like 2 million or less TCP might have a little bit of a struggle with this. Depending on if they have X-Force or where their roster is. But, you know, if they didn't have this event, would we miss it? You know? I don't know.
I think, this event is very perfect for those people that were at 4 stars, and these extra stars are putting them to the next level, and now they're going to be able to unlock Dr. Octopus because of this event. I really
One
like
thing I think they could have added to this event is instead of the, and not to say there's a problem with the raid, you know, the raid random orb materials, but maybe if they had used, because they're going to have that orb that's like, hey, look, it's all X-Force characters. If maybe the milestones or blitzing gave you a chance to get orbs that also open random character shards, I think that might have improved the overall quality of the event and incentivized more people to take part in it, even if they weren't going to hit the milestones. Like, I like the blitz milestones events where it's like the more you blitz, the more orbs you can open, you might be able to get stuff. It always comes down to what's in the orbs, but that's something I would have changed, where I would say then, oh no, this event's phenomenal, like blitz as you can, and hopefully you'll get not just the 20 shards it says here, but a handful of extra shards to help people, you know, through getting more character shards, especially for those 4-star people hanging on and getting close to 5.
Yeah, this seems like more of a mini event. Whereas those Fun in the Suns, those other ones, they seem like major events. These are like, hey, here, play some Blitz and, you know, get some things if you really care about these and things like that. So I like it. I'd rather have these mini events than no events, but it seems like way less significant other thing. But it leads to my next question. X-Force required for Dr. Octopus. Black Bolt was not did not have his full team farmable before his event. A lot of people are suspecting that is what's going to happen to Dr. Octopus. X-Force not farmable before this event. What is your gut feeling telling you as far as the farmability of X-Force before he comes out?
No chance.
This was the bone that they threw us right here.
This is the. They have made it incredibly clear that they want to reward people willing to either work hard through blitz or campaigns or spend money for certain characters, that those are the players who are more inclined to unlock legendaries if need be. And I guess that's part of a business strategy to be like, you never know, you know, I mean, pretty much anyone who watched any content creator had the, you know, the inkling that the X-Force was going to be needed for something important, but that's not everybody. Not everybody watches content creators. So this is kind of the bone they threw instead of in lieu of making them farmable. We know this month we're getting definitely Ironheart and either like one of the Black Order characters or Ooh. Red Skull. I'm guessing Red Skull because we've been seeing a lot of Red Skull offers. So it's kind of like that going out of business sale on Red Skull.
I like that theory. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And they did say we're getting some more chapters, right? Before the end of the year, so
I think Cosmic is the next one. If you want it, we'll save it for rumors. But I also have not rumors, milestones. Well, right. I have a theory on what's happening with Captain Marvel and stuff.
All right, and the Beast Blitz just ended this past weekend. 25 million or so for the top score, little lower than the first iteration of that X-23 Blitz at 27 million. What do you think was attributed to this disinterest or this apparent disinterest in Beast? Were people just as confused about us where to use him, where he fits into this game? Is he really required to play this game?
That's it. Like X-23 clearly was a good character, very important to her team, and you know, speculation was she would be needed for a legendary. So people that kind of follow that wanted to get the most possible value they could, especially when you're competing at the super duper top for the, you know, 1% or the first place rewards. But even then, like, that level of competition at 27 million versus 25 or 26 as it is, you know, like, those numbers, they kind of balanced out because it's where the average player can get when it comes to new characters. Now, I'm on the philosophy that, like, hit top 2K on, you know, one or both, and you should be okay because you'll have a 4-star character that's usually adequate, and you don't get too much of a value push going to top 100. If you top 100 both, you don't get a 5-star character, you just get a 4, assuming you didn't buy anything, obviously. But, like, Beast doesn't, there's nothing in this game that Beast does that, like, you can't do without him. You know, he's the definition of, like, a vanity or an extra character. So when you introduce characters like that, people are just not gonna blitz hard, you know, they're just not gonna pay attention.
So what are you going for this upcoming Beast blitz? Did you hit top 2000 last time and you're going less?
No, or? I do top 1 to 2 on the first one, and then I do top 2 on the second one, because historically the second blitz is about 2 or 3 million points less.
Yeah.
And you can get top 1 to 2%, like, top 1 to 2% was like 17 million this pass. So I hit 17 million on, like, Saturday, and then I just didn't blitz at all on Sunday until the Red Star blitz started. So, like, for me, it's like you get that 60 shard drop from the 1 to 2%. The next pass, it tends to be cheaper, so then I have to blitz a couple more times, and I will end up, you know, with a 4-star version of Beast, which for my needs as someone with a 7.5 million power roster, that's more than adequate. I don't need him anywhere. He's not doing anything for me. Yeah. On every place I would use Beast, I'm using other characters that have more investment anyway. So, like, Beast, okay.
But
for me, I'm assuming this next blitz is going to be, like I said, about 2 or 3 million less, so like 23 to 24 mil on top 2K on this one. So, well, now I've said it out loud, so it's going to go higher, but...
I don't know. But that philosophy makes sense. You know, you're getting a 4-star character whether you go top 2000 both blitzes or one or the other, and then the second one is historically less. So I kind of like that strategy, and hopefully we didn't just screw that up for everybody else that might want to do this as well. Emma Frost, the White Queen, is here, guys, and this is expiring very soon, and it looks like she is coming. Milestone character, August 19th, brother. What are your thoughts on her being a milestone character? Big question from the community ever since she was announced. I guess it's good that she's not a Blitz character.
So the recurring milestones are one of the best things they've done for the average player in this game, because they allow you to save up and prepare if you care for the character. You can save gold orbs that you're accruing and gold to make sure that you get, you know, whatever the shard drops you need. Like, all the math has been done by smarter people than I, so you can just pretty much always line up and determine. Now, if it's the same as Symbiote Spider-Man, I think it's still better for the average player, because you'll get, you know, maybe 100 shards the first pass, or maybe you won't. Maybe you'll get 60 or 70 shards the first pass, but then you'll be able to get 100 shards on the second pass, and then the third pass, you'll have your 4 or 5-star version of Emma. Which I think is fundamentally great. I don't think she has the same power level as Symbiote Spider-Man, in that, like, Symbiote Spider-Man, when you get him earlier, the earlier you get him, the better your gameplay is. And even later when you get him, he's going to make a lot of things easier. I don't think she's that level. So like, it's Coulson. A little Coulson. Bit.
Better than Coulson.
She's somewhere between, like, Coulson and CM in, like, immediate impact. And it's mostly because of the same conversation. Her biggest impact is war defense right now. Sure, you can use her on arena offense or arena defense, and maybe in raids or maybe in Dark Dimension 3 if you've decided this is where I'm going to spend my $4,000 today. You know, that's up to you. But, like, she's a great character. She's one of those very few characters that you actually don't need high red stars on to make her great, because she's a kit character and her base stats are so good. Her base focus is so good. She has no damage, nor will she ever, but she doesn't actually do damage herself. So she's one of those kit characters where all red stars are doing are increasing her survivability in certain game modes, like more defense, etc. So you really just got to invest, like, gear and tier 4s into her. And that alone is pretty decent. So if, as a milestone character, the stronger your symbiote Spider-Man is, the easier the content you're trying to do will become. Emma, you might be able to squeeze away with a 3 or 4 star Emma for a very long time until she eventually ends up becoming farmable. And that's one of the reasons why it's a little weird she's a recurring milestone character. She's not as powerful, but she is phenomenal.
Awesome kit. What worries me about her being at a lower star level is the low focus, though, and trying to flip the debuff.
She has high focus.
Even at a low star level, she has enough.
4 star, no red, she has 3,000 focus. Okay. Not even gear tier 13.
Okay.
3,000 focus, level 70, 6664. Again, her special doesn't care. Her ultimate doesn't care how strong she is because she's calling your Black Bolt and probably your opponent's Black Bolt to hit somebody. You know, like...
Yeah, the ultimate probably doesn't need the stats, and I guess if she has the focus to make that special work, no need for any stuffs on her. Kind of like Minerva, you don't need that high stars to make it work.
I want high red stars on everybody.
Yeah, obviously, but, better. More focus is better. More health, more armor, all that
more
stuff is better.
More is better. Yes. Except slaps in the face. No one wants more slaps in the face.
There's a few other things that aren't better, but yeah, I get it. More is usually better. So now that Emma Frost is in the game, what do you experience with her? How good does she make this Marauders team? Does she make them relevant for Arena? Does she make them relevant for other game modes outside of just War Defense, or maybe using her on a totally different team? What is your experience so far with her?
I've seen three things. I've seen people using the Marauders as an offense team to try to beat the Black Order. Sure, I think, you know, you could probably do that with existing characters as they are or a Black Order, but yeah, it's totally reasonable. It really depends on investment. I think Emma's biggest value now is kind of like Maw. I apply her in the same general principle that I apply Maw. If I see my opponents have like a specific comp, I would like to bring Emma into my Arena team. And use her to, like, make sure that one specific character gets obliterated.
Wait, where you Maw's have like, other teams in your Arena shard other than Black Order?
Yeah.
Because I all I see is Black Order in mine.
Well, it's like the top five are, like, Black Orders that, like, are just constantly changing. And then there's, like, 450k Black Orders, and those guys are constantly in, like, the low 20s and 30s. Right now, I'm in, like, the 50s of my Arena Shard, and those are the low 400k Black Orders. Those are basically peasants. We don't even... Get out of here. With your gear tier 13 Black Order, get out of here. Like, we have no time for you.
So is it the Black Order that you're looking for to counter with Emma, or is it one of these other mixed comps?
I use mixed comps in general because... Like I invest in multiple different characters for multiple different game modes. I think that's one of the values you're going to get for Emma on Arena Offense. But Arena Offense is very rarely the issue, right? Like I think
nothing
beating
holds
teams,
a defense. Nothing holds a defense.
Yeah, beating teams is relevant. So we have a Black Bolt bug that makes Invisible Woman a liability on defense, right? So we can't use her, even though she lines up very well with certain other characters' abilities. But I think Emma might be one of those defense characters that you may play around with. So like. If you're going to try to use a hybrid team, Emma may call the right target to murder somebody, you know, with her special. So that might be it. Other than that, I think that the value she has on her special of clearing debuffs and the value she has of clearing buffs on your opponent on her ult make her like miles ahead on like raids. So you might get a lot more value out of the Marauders as a... I know it sounds crazy, but as a full raid team, because of what Emma can bring to that setup. As for Arena, I've seen people use them. It doesn't feel great. You know, like I have a really strong Sabretooth in general, but my Mystique isn't, and I don't feel like making Mystique stronger just to counter one team when the tools that exist right now are better. Also, it's still a war defense team, you know? Like
I kind of like them as a raid team, though, that you mentioned them, because Sinister has a lot of sustainability. Emma gives them a lot of sustainability. Sabretooth has some self-healing, so maybe not Ultima 7, but maybe for autoing through some Greek raids, you know, putting that thing on auto and not having to use certain... I don't remember. Maybe there's no node.
I'm willing to test Ultima 7 if you want. I'll test the entire, when I get them all up to like, cause they're all like 50 or 60K except Emma. So when I get Emma to 60K, I'll bring them into some U7 fights and just like get some ideas in. I think Sinister does have a really good heal. Sabretooth is assisting on pretty much every character's turn, except Mystique's, because Sinister has two abilities that call Sabretooth to attack. Emma has two abilities that call Sabretooth to attack. Strife has one. Mystique has zero, and then Sabretooth himself obviously attacks on his turns. So you're getting a lot of splash damage, and they do have some sustainability. I don't think it's the best U7 team.
Yeah, I think it's another team you could add to your Swiss Army knife of many teams that you need to get as those have difficulties.
You may take them into like a specific like boss fight, like the Ronin node. You know, I always use the Ronin node as an example because everyone knows like, oh, God damn it.
Or you know, like what I use my X-Men for is like. Some of the opening turns of some nodes I don't like, so I just throw in my X-Men full auto. Yeah. They give about 2 million damage, and then I could take in my main team to kind of clean up. I'm thinking that might be the use that I might have to for the Marauders eventually.
But they might... It's still too early to tell. I don't think Emma is game-breaking in Arena, because I don't really care about a team that wins fights. You know, like, there are plenty of teams that win fights. I beat teams in Arena with... right now, it's, I think, Maw, Phoenix, Black Bolt, Invisible Woman, and Sinister. And if it's Black Order, I take Maw out and I put in Ultron, and then I clone their Maw, and then I giggle. Because, that's my fight. Like, I'm going to do that. So, I'm always more of a which are the best characters to invest in before which team to invest in kind of thing. Yeah. But I think if you are going to invest in the Marauders for one reason or another, you might see some value in them in a lot of different game modes.
3 days left for Symbiote Spider-Man. We were talking about this earlier. What are your thoughts? Where do you think he's going to go? We got other milestone characters. There's many ones, but the major ones, Captain Marvel, Coulson, Symbiote Spider-Man. We already have three now. Do you think they're all going to go to that one milestone, or is somebody going to come out? What are your thoughts?
I'm speculating, but I feel like they've been incredibly generous in the last couple months with Captain Marvel. They've given a ton of shards, both to new and existing players over a really long period of time. That's kind of like the beginning of the end of a character's scarcity. And Captain Marvel was the first major milestone character.
Yeah.
So if I had to speculate at all, I would assume that Captain Marvel is being taken out of the milestone orb. Coulson is taking her rarity, you know, that was 5% of the slot, and then Symbiote Spider-Man will go in and take on what Coulson was. So it'll become harder to get Coulson than Symbiote Spider-Man, which is great for everybody, I guess. But that, and then CM would probably go to either a new campaign in the same way when they're gonna add new nodes, they might put her in like the Cosmic campaign. But then again, they also put Ironheart at the end of the Villains campaign, right? So like, they could do Nexus. Oh, they did Nexus already. I'm sorry. They could do like Mystic and be like, CM's the reward for Nexus 4. And we're like, okay. You know, one thing I do not like about the fact that these characters are being added there is that some of these characters have a lot of value in the early game, and you have to be a certain level in order to get there, like Thanos or Hela, obviously. So when they put characters in these far shards of, you know, in these far end farms, you're basically telling players, you can't work on this character until, like, not just you're strong enough and you're at a specific level and you have these very specific teams to do it. So they're really making these characters for end game players, not so much for newer or middle game players who are like, oh, I can't wait to farm CM. Well, great, you need to be level 75, you know, with like a Guardians team and then a Kree team in order to get to the nodes to get there. And you're like, what? Okay, fine.
Well, let's see what happens. Maybe it should be like a Blitzen or something.
Oh God, yeah, that's what I wish. Yeah, put Symbiote Spider-Man in there while you're at it.
But it makes sense what you're saying. I never looked at it like making the shards more available means they're gonna become farmable like that, and they have been really re-releasing the Widowmaker calendar, making sure everybody got the shards for that. So it does make sense that her time would be coming on this. All right, so as we were talking about the Symbiote Spider-Man milestones, I talked about making some of these characters a little more available for newer players, and not good that X-23 is available in the Ultimus, Basic, Premium, Mega, Supply section of the store. Thanos removed from the Mega Orb, though. What are your thoughts on this? Especially that it's going to be harder for later, earlier game players to get this character.
My only question is Ant-Man still in the Mega Orbs?
I think he's out.
Okay, good. Okay, that's it. Because I don't really know what's in Mega Orbs because I don't really pay too much attention to them because they don't come too often. So Thanos getting removed from Mega Orbs kind of sucks, right? Like, he's 100 shard unlock. He's in the, like we just said, he's in one of the harder to farm nodes.
Yeah.
He's at the end of a campaign that's, you know, not easily accessible to players. And he has good value both early game, middle game, and late game. So he's a character that's better than just end game viable for the Black Order team. Removing him from Mega Orbs seems slightly questionable, because he's harder to farm. You would always assume that they'd take characters out that are more, I hate to use the word ubiquitous, but like more common, more likely that you're going to see a ton of shards of through both premium orbs or, you know, gamma raid orbs or whatever you come across, you're going to see a ton of characters. They're in a store. So it's always weird to me to see Thanos removed from Mega Orbs because it's not terrible for the average player to open 50 to 100 Thanos shards out of their Mega Orb. Like, it's a pretty good drop for a lot of players because they can't otherwise get him earlier. Whether they need him or not, that's up to them to decide, not me. But it just feels weird that they take out a character like Thanos for X-23 when, yeah, it's cool that she's in there, but I think more people would rather have Thanos.
But it's almost like
if they had neither of the characters, I think they'd rather have Thanos.
It depends which, if you're talking newer game or later game players, and it's almost like they're shifting this Mega Orb towards marketing more towards the mid and later game players and making it not as appealing for newer players. Because, you know, 100 X-23 shards, how much is that going to affect a newer game player? But 100 Thanos shards, it's probably going to affect them a lot because, like you said, viable in all, you know, phases of the game, whether you're a new mid or late game player. But I feel that they removed Thanos because he's just an older character. I don't think they looked at that use of him, that he has a new Black Order team. They said, oh, he was released very early on, one of the first characters that we released. Ant-Man got really, Thanos, let's remove him. And it's almost like they didn't take that into account. Or maybe they did, and they're just being mean.
No, what's the old adage? Never attribute to malice what can be explained by stupidity. I just assume they didn't, didn't check the numbers on it. Like, how many people are using Thanos? Like, whatever. Just put it. And again, it's not the X-23 being added to make, it's all Mega Orbs. It's not other orbs, right? So it's just specifically Mega Orbs.
Hilarious. She's added to all.
Yeah, but that's Thanos, what I'm saying. Thanos was removed from Mega Orbs.
Yeah.
Like, so he's still in the other stuff, so like that's fine. At least they didn't nuke him from everything, which they probably should start nuking characters from premium orbs. But at the same time, like, when's the last time you bought a Mega Orb? Like, paid money for it?
Bought one? Never. Yeah. Never. Yeah. Never.
Never. Not once in your life did you buy a Mega Orb.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
I bought Mega Orbs in the very early stages of the game.
There were $35 each back then. Jeez.
They were expensive. I bought them because it was 50 to 100 character shards and the pool was very small and they were all named characters. But now, like, every time I open a Mega Orb, I'm like, all right, how many Ultra credits am I getting this time?
They've been having this track that they've been removing them. I mean, I don't even know what's in there now. So what do we got?
Always go to the 5% drop. I believe there's more 100 shards.
You're right. The 85, because there's more here, right? Yeah.
No, I think there's actually more on the 100, which is crazy.
Oh, you know what? It's different. You got different characters, I think. You got 50 on these, and you know, you got some good characters. There's not that many of these older bad characters in this. And then with this 5%, there's a few different characters as well. Or am I... I don't know, but these are the characters in here.
Whatever. Yeah. It's nominal.
All right, so more moving. Not just X-23 and Thanos moving. Ironheart and Rescue are moving. I always thought it was weird that Rescue was on a Villain 7-9 campaign. You mentioned Ironheart not fitting there either. I guess she doesn't, but time released in the game, it fits more than Rescue. Rescue should have been released in Blitz Orbs way back when she was released in the minimum Blitz. No, she should have been released in the Blitz Store when she was released in the Blitz Orb. So this is long time coming for Rescue. She never should have had this node. I'm glad. It had to be somebody. Ironheart, good. Same team. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, it's awesome because Ironheart is a superior character that you actually kind of want to get in. But again, when you put characters in this, and when I meant like by Ironheart being like in that zone, it wasn't that she's not good enough or anything. It was like, now you've said, hey, do you want a power armor war team? Well, you don't get it until you're level 70. You know what I mean? That's what you're saying. Like, you don't get your power armor war team. Even if you get Vision, it's still not better than Ironheart. You get like your old, like it used to be a better team, and then they changed War Machine's speed to work better with Ironheart's ability. Yeah. So like it's when the game tells you as a player what you should or shouldn't be working on that starts to be like, why is Ironheart there?
Isn't
like,
that what they're supposed to do, though? They're supposed to do that and get as much money out of us as possible. That's what their job is, right?
They're supposed to make money.
Farm this, pay us this, and you can farm this. That's what it's supposed to do.
Well, but that's what it's doing. It's telling you, like, the game right now is telling the players, like, don't worry about war-only offense teams, because you'll never be able to complete them until later. They're doing kind of the same with war defense teams, as like pretty much all of the war defense teams, with the exception of like Asgardians, are like incredibly difficult to come by. When's the last time you pulled a Coulson out of a Milestone orb? You know, and
I've been opening those because I've been needing training mats. So bad example, but
you're still not pulling that many, you know. So. I open them too, but my Coulson, I got him because he came out when I was playing the game. So like, oh cool, I have a Coulson. Anyone who doesn't have Coulson, like you don't even have to have Nick Fury until you unlock Coulson technically in the game, because you can use him as a war offense team, but as a defense team, you're going to run him over. There's so many ways to beat the regular Fury shield now that like, not even worth it. It's kind of the same thing. Like when you have characters set up as incredibly difficult to come by, you're telling players like, don't worry about X, you know? Don't worry about this war-only team on offense. Don't even look at them, because you're not going to be able to complete them. And if you get lucky to complete them, you're going to miss out on one major way of working on them. It's kind of like how the Asgardians, you can get Thor on day one. You can get Sif relatively early, because you'll start getting war credits. And you can get Heimdall from day one. Loki, you can't get until you're probably like month or two into the game, unless you're spending money or lucky. And Hela, you can't get until you're literally multiple months into the game, because you have to be level 70 to complete the villain's campaign. So it's weird to see a team like that, which is so good on every side of war, plus is a decent early game raid team, a decent arena team, but you literally can only work on three of the five characters, and then by the time you get to one, you're like, oh, I have to spend money in order to get Hela, in order to get Black Bolt, in order to get that. So it is kind of pacing you as a player to knowing what you want to be like working on, or technically it's telling you as a spender where your money is going to get the most value. People are now going to know buying that $5.99 or $4.99 Ironheart offer that just went live is probably going to be meaningful, because you're not going to see Ironheart in the mid game until you've already like beaten through the villain's campaign, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. And I totally agree. You know, they're making kind of an easy roadmap to follow, and everybody kind of follows the same roadmap with that. But as far as like a later game player, how valuable is Ironheart? I mean, you mentioned Vision there before. The team used to work better, still works, still is able to beat a lot of teams in war, just not able to beat some of the meta teams without that Ironheart. How valuable do you think she is for later game players to farm?
Second most important character on the team.
Second
most important character to invest in on the team. It's War Machine, Ironheart, and Falcon. Iron Man is a glorified passive that makes other characters better by being present. He doesn't do a great deal of damage, but if he's there, he'll give War Machine and himself death proof and an increased crit chance on everybody. Rescue is a two abilities. She just needs to survive long enough to use them. She doesn't do damage. That heal block is situationally useful, but they're a war team. Ironheart, War Machine, and Falcon represent not only good kits, but also really good damage. Falcon's ult lined up with the defense down from Ironheart, especially in war when it's hitting multiple times, can be ridiculous. So she's probably the second most important character to invest in to the team, where if Falcon lags behind a little bit, you could still use his, you know, special and get a lot of value.
Yeah, hers is more kit-based rather than...
But she also does damage.
No, I'm talking about Falcon. Yeah. Falcon's more kit-based rather than stats-based. But good, you know, the power armor, I'm hearing reports they're able to counter this Marauders team. Now, there is, yes. it needs to be a punch down. I haven't seen too many punch ups from this Power Armor team, but they are able to beat that Marauders team with Emma Frost.
It depends on the strength of two different characters. It depends on the strength of Mr. Sinister, and it depends on the strength of Sabretooth. I know that sounds crazy, but Mystique is probably going to be dodging and evading a lot in general. So the stronger the Sinister is, he's going to throw out peasant heals every time someone takes a turn, because that's just what he does. If he survives, there's actually only two characters he can clone that ruins your experience. It's surprisingly Ironheart and Falcon. Because if he clones a War Machine, it doesn't matter. That War Machine's not actually going to do any damage because there's no heroes on the team. You know, yeah. He doesn't have any bonuses. Iron Man, who cares? And Rescue, technically she adds more shields, which is kind of cool, but she doesn't give the offense up to non-Power Armor. Or
yeah.
What does she not give to Power Armor? I don't remember. Clear buffs her. One of the things she does, she doesn't give to Power
something
Armor.
Something with her ultimate.
Like,
yeah.
If that Sinister clones the Falcon, you're like, uh-oh. That Sabretooth is going to hit me a lot. You know,
right, so you need a weak Sinister and you need some good RNG to beat that team with Power Armor.
In a punch up. In a punch down,
in a punch
you'll
up.
Be fine.
Okay. Got it.
And Emma, again, of course, if Emma chooses the wrong target, like if Emma chooses like Ironheart and then Iron Man and War Machine killer, you're like, oh, never mind. Oh, all right, well, uninstall. Right,
so I guess you still do need good RNG then, right?
Yeah, no matter what, there's still RNG. That's not true. If your turn meter manipulation works right, like if you're taking the turns the way you're supposed to, you should take a turn before their entire team takes one.
Oh, for the Power Armor?
Yeah, especially because Emma's going to spawn them with defense up. So they're that turn, the second Falcon takes a turn, that's five characters at the max possible turn meter you're going to get.
All right, Relic Hunter is coming back. And this time, we're actually getting some useful amount of SBCs and some of these other catalysts that were very minimal in this Relic Hunter event. The mail. It's gone from my inbox, and we were just discussing it before we started recording this segment. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't remember the exact amounts, but I think it went up to 150 for the SBCs, and the others all saw some significant increases as well.
It's triple. It's triple. Roughly triple
okay.
what the reward used to be.
Perfect.
So it doesn't actually matter what it is. It's just three times
three
more.
Three times. Okay.
You know?
That makes it so much easier. Planning is good, but yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
So I'll tell you, I've been playing this game since day one launch, right?
Yeah.
And my hand team, anyone who's watched my stream will know, is all five Red Star. Okay. All of them. Five Red Star. Oof. All of them are level 53. I disrespect hands so hard.
I've been waiting for that
reward. As a rule, I've been telling people, if you see me start working on hand, you can start suspecting that a rework is coming. Like that's when like I'm maybe a bird whispered in my ear or something. So, because I don't care. As a result of that, I never actually like cared about the final stage of the Relic Event Award, because the math on it, and this is like, you know, napkin math, was like it took you six passes of that event to make up for the amount of you know, gold and ability materials and everything you had to invest in the hand team. And at no point in my gameplay was I like, you know what, I got this extra gold and ability materials laying around, why not invest in the worst team, the second worst team in the game? Like, no. So I never three-starred it. Sometimes I beat it with one star, sometimes I did, and then otherwise I was just like, the rewards aren't worth it. You know, like, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Now that it's triple the rewards and it's a reliable monthly source of additional gear materials,
yes.
Then it's actually a meaningful amount now. So not only are you getting, not only does it not matter that you're not necessarily going to get your return on investment on the arbitrary purple ability materials and gear you're going to place into your hand, but you're going to start getting the materials you need for good characters that are in hand.
Yes.
So now it's worth the, I'm telling everybody I know, like, you're going to start seeing me bring my hand team up to a, like, you know, not crazy, but like maybe gear tier 10, maybe they reach level 60, who's to say, but it's going to be now a little bit more detail than where they were, because why? Like, before, I wasn't doing it because the rewards were never going to pay out. Now that it's more frequent and that it gives you ability materials and, I'm sorry, gear materials that will matter, it's absolutely worth it.
Build your hand, guys. Tony is building his hand. You should build Nobu.
Treat it like a legendary event. Like, you don't gotta go hard on him. Just, I'll tell you this, okay? My current hand team, with their red stars all around, like, level 53 to 55, is 220k, and I can't reliably beat that fight. I could beat it, just not three-star it. So, like, a couple of them are, like, 40k because of red stars, obviously. Then we're talking about the seven-star event, obviously. Yeah. That's the one that was changed.
I think both six and seven had some changes.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, I could do the six. I just couldn't do the seven.
Okay, got it.
I don't know how strong my hand team has to be in order to complete the seven and three-star. I mean, I have to do it reliably. I have to do it once. But that's going to be the issue. So I think maybe level 65, maybe a few characters like Hand Sentry, Hand Sorceress, and if you got them, Hand Archer. Those are the ones you want to have the most actual investment in because they keep the team alive and do the most overall damage.
But Nobu brings people back to life and gives them counters.
No, he tries to.
All right, and Black Bolt is back. His legendary event is coming back, and I know you are looking forward to this very much on a personal level. Still one of the best characters in the game at this point. Has not been a victim of power creep very much, if at all. What are your thoughts on Black Bolt finally coming back? Legendary, baby.
Yeah, Black Bolt's that character that, like, you get him and you just feel stronger. Like, there's very few characters you unlock and then you physically, as a person, go like, oh, all right, yeah, I'm going to go do something. Like, cool. Because Black Bolt is so good. Like, every stat he has is pushed. Like, every ability he does ridiculous damage. And then he's part of, like, 17 different, like, he's good in every game mode. Like, every single one. Like, he's just
use him everywhere.
You know, it's one of those conversations of, like, if you say who's the best character in the game, like, you may not get everyone to agree, but Black Bolt's in the conversation.
Every conversation.
He's top five.
Everybody's top five, at least.
Definitely. Like, the top five is definitely, like the same three people, and then
you can argue the order, but yeah, he's in there. All right, so yes, go hard for Black Bolt. Not even a question. He still is very relevant. All right, and I know you were talking a little bit about Black Bolt not working properly, and he's an awesome character, but buyer beware. There are some things that are still broken with him, even after 8 months in this game, guys. So what are some of the bugs that you know about right now for Black Bolt?
Yeah, real quick, the biggest ones of note is that he interacts with Barrier as if Barrier was a second health bar. So if you check out his passive, if a character goes under 25% health, he coughs on them and does a ton of damage. If they're villain tech, it's a ton times two. So he treats the Barrier bar as if it's a second health bar. So when he checks to see if a character's health dropped below 25%, if the Barrier bar did, if it was ever over 25% of whatever it could be and went under, he coughs. If that cough then triggers your health to go under 25%, he then coughs again. So he coughs
multiple times. I love it if it's my Black Bolt. It's horrible if it's enemy's Black Bolt.
Well, that's the thing. It benefits you as a player significantly more because you know it can happen, so you can move around it. Whereas if you see an AI Black Bolt, you also know, okay, don't bring in characters that could barrier, you know? Like Maw or Invisible Woman.
Yeah. Any other significant bugs?
He doesn't always, if you see his characters killed by Black Bolt, cannot be revived. There's an asterisk next to that, and it's like, mostly, because there are situations where if the character, like Ultron or Nebula, I don't know why I used her as an example. There are way better characters that self-revive. But I'm sorry.
I mentioned her previously, that's why.
Yeah, right, I apologize. If you kill one of them, Black Bolt goes like, do not res, because that's what his passive does. But then a character that could res, like Scientist Supreme, or Minerva still can res that character. It doesn't happen every single time, but it happens enough because the character, what it means is that character who was going to res triggered their ability to res and Black Bolt suppressed it. He was like, no. No, thank you.
And then after that,
someone else tries to res him, and he's looking the other way. He's like, how'd you get back? I thought I stopped that.
So the res only works one time if he tries to get resurrected. If a character gets resurrected a second time, it doesn't work? Is that kind of how the bug is?
I believe it's only for characters that have the ability to self-res.
Okay.
Or maybe through characters like Nobu, who grants the ability to self-res to everybody.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I haven't really tested it because, like, where would I? You know, like, what game mode? Like, I guess maybe PvP, I could go in there and just have a Black Bolt start nuking characters and then try to res them. But it's more of a we've seen it happen kind of thing and got confused about it. But
Got it. All right. So
yeah, he's buggy. But it's none of the bugs make him bad. It's just they make him weird.
Yeah. So know that going in, but he's still one of the best characters in the game. All right, and Tony, this is my favorite part of the news video, talking about rumors, brother. Now, we've got a couple new ones that I do want to discuss, but there are a few old ones that I do want to get your reaction to this. A couple characters rumored to be coming in August, couple from Spider-Verse, and the names that have been thrown around, Electro and Swarm, a newer character. And apparently the Swarm character was mentioned in the Squirrel Girl campaign, also mentioned the Squirrel Girl campaign, so I'm told is Zemo. So what are your thoughts on these three characters if they are the potential characters for the new update?
Okay, so I've heard those three characters' names used multiple times, but always together. You know, like, I've heard a conversation about Zemo going all the way back to the beginning of the year when people were talking about the Winter Soldier and Falcon TV show.
He's the bad guy in that, right?
Correct. They brought him back as, but they're not doing like that dude. Like, they're not doing guy who was mad Zemo from the movie. They're doing like comic book mask.
Oh, okay.
Like full on Hydra Zemo as another member of Hydra. So that's something that, like, I've been kind of aware about. It's been on my radar for a while, but in the same way that the Black Widow rework and the Black Widow characters were pushed back because of the movie, I never knew if that would happen here or if they were just going to keep it for whatever. As for Swarm, the first I heard anything about it from the chitterings and chatterings was this conversation and the Squirrel Girl event. Electro, I heard about way long ago when we were talking about like additional Sinister Six characters. Someone, I think incorrectly, was like, Electro will be the legendary. And we're like, no, it's 100% Doc Ock. But Doc Ock is like the only two possible Sinister Six characters that could be legendary that we don't have right now. It's like Doc Ock and like
Kraven.
Kraven the Hunter. Those are the only two. Like, thank you. Like, anyone outside of that, it's like, yeah, they're okay. But then again, legendary Shuri. So, like, you know, it doesn't, like, it makes sense that some characters that are so high impact to the lore of a character become legendary. Electro, I've seen it. I've actually saw a model of Electro, but it wasn't the Starburst Lightning Bolt eyeline Electro.
Was it the blue one from the movie?
No, it wasn't the, please don't wish that on anything. No, it was the newer one, which is, he's not blue, but he is like bald. He looks actually like Vulture, like the Vulture model, but like with like electricity jumping out. But as far as Swarm, like when you get into these relatively obscure characters, like your America Chavez
Minerva.
Perfect. Well, she was in the movie, you know, at least she was a character in the movie.
Who knew of her before that movie? Same with Shuri. Who knew of that character before the movie?
Like, when you put a little known character in, you in a game especially, you have to kind of balance the kit out to make up for the fact that no one's hype is there.
Like Minerva, the Swarm. So Swarm is going to be the next meta character, is what you're saying.
So, like, I do read Squirrel Girl, not as often as many other people probably, but I've read Squirrel Girl comics. I'm familiar with Swarm, but only in that, like, he exists, and that's it. You know, that's what I know. So, like, I want to see a kit on Swarm that's like, if you don't have this character, you will be ruined. I want him to have dark dimension tags, you know? Like, I want this character to be so insane that we're like, I don't know who Swarm is, but we're going to learn, you know?
Two guys from the Spider-Verse, Sinister Six, Electro Swarm. How do you think that's going to affect Dr. Octopus with his summoning the sixth character? Is this going to be some random thing, or are these guys not having the tag? Because that's one of the things floating around, is maybe they're someone that has dual tags, or maybe it's kind of a trick. They're not actually in that Sinister Six.
So all the Sinister Six has the Spider-Verse tag, but obviously not all the Spider-Verse has the Sinister Six tag. It's weird, right? Because what we know about Doc Ock is he will provide the sixth character of the Sinister Six.
Yes.
What we don't know is how. Like, my understanding is that it will be a very similar Sinister effect, where it'll take Doc Ock's investment and apply it to that character. That's my understanding of like what they would do. So if you have a really strong Doc Ock,
it's a move, not a pass.
No, I think it's on spawn.
On spawn.
So I think, but that's what I'm saying. Like, not Sinister's ultimate cloning somebody. More of the stronger your Sinister is, the clone becomes stronger.
Got
you know
it.
What I mean?
Got it.
Or like Hela, or you know, Hela's Greg gets stronger as her investment goes up. That's what my assumption will be for Doc Ock.
Do you think they'll go with something totally different? Like, if they called in Rhino, for example, it would be based on the stats of your Rhino. So something totally not that we haven't seen before in this game, not of your Doc Ock.
I would, as a developer, the developer in me says yes, like that would be phenomenal. But also, I have no confidence that they know how to do that. Like, this isn't a dig.
I knew that's where you're going with that.
This is not a dig. I'm not insulting. I would bet money that they don't know how to do
that. That's what they want to happen, but then they'll change the text to change it to what actually happens when that gets implemented.
They want it to happen because then you have to invest in multiple characters. Like, you know, you have to, as opposed to what the effect that I'm leaning on is that you can invest in Doc Ock and then technically get a free investment in another character. But I just question their ability to look into your roster at the beginning of a fight and then apply that character to the team. You know, I just I don't.
It would be cool. Hopefully, maybe they bring in some other people that can figure this stuff out.
Yeah,
that would be a cool
not
mechanic.
A dig. There's so many different things we can
say. We know
say
all
in the
bugs.
Game.
We play this game. We know all the bugs and the conversation that came out for all the bugs. We know. They know. It's a well-known fact. You play this game, there's going to be bugs. It's just it's what it is.
She-Hulk is a character I've heard some things about. I'm looking forward to seeing some stuff about her.
Ooh, this is a juicy rumor section. All right.
Oh, there's one other thing I want to
address. Okay.
I believe they are adding a auto blitz feature to the game.
What?
I don't know what the detail is, but I believe it's gonna prop. Like, I believe that one of the changes they intend on making to Blitz is going to be an automated completion. I have reason, not just a screenshot that people were staring around, but I have reason to believe that that's one of the reasons they started getting really hard on the bots, because they're going to release a similar feature. Whether it cost cores or whether it just be its own thing, I've heard that there's going to be a way where you can sim through parts of Blitz. Not necessarily end score the highest possible score, but for the players in that middle to a little bit just before high-end roster, where you're just trying to complete milestones or whatever it is, I believe they're going to add something like that to the game. That's some little chitter-chatter I heard.
Nice.
A few weeks back.
All right. Well, Tony, it is always fun, my friend. We got to do this more often. I don't know why we don't collab more often. We got to do this often.
We can do it anytime, man.
We should. It's always fun working with you. Before you go, though, tell everybody where they can find you.
Just slash Tony Scangeli literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
If you walk into your local Panera and say it, they'll send you a picture of me.
Nice.
Slash Tony Scangeli. You can't spell it, and that's fine. But
if you can't, don't worry, guys. The links are going to be in the description. Click on those and check him out. He's all over the place, guys. And YouTube, Twitch, all the main sources. So thank you guys for watching this. We do this every single week. If you are listening to the podcast version of this, make sure you leave an awesome review. Make sure you subscribe, smash, all that good stuff, guys. I will see you next time. Check out some of the links down below. They support the channel, BlueStacks, Worldwide Nutrition, and give me a hug fist bump before you go, Tony! Yours that fist, Valley Flyer, Tony Scangeli, out!